Good evening and welcome along to the Score programme with Kenny Harkin and Joe Dex. This evening on the programme, we'll be looking at Gaelic games. There's Donegal Junior and Senior Hurling finals on this weekend. In football, there's Junior A Championship semi-finals. There's Under 21 A and B Championship action. There's Senior Relegation semi-finals. There's Lady Ulster Club games. And there's Tyrone and Derry Senior Football Championship semi-finals all on this weekend. Tom Comack looking ahead to some of those big games. We'll also have a League of Ireland chat a little bit later with Declan Boyle. Welcome along to the Score programme. Yes, welcome along to the Score, and we're going to start straight away, get into the action with Gaelic games in the Senior Championship. It's Senior Championship time in Derry and Tyrone this weekend. In Derry, Glen, The Loop, Slochneil and Lavey have emerged from the pack. On Saturday night, champion Slochneil put their title on the line when they face Lavey in Owen Beg at 6:45. And on Sunday, Glen and The Loop lock horns in Owen Beg. That one starts at 2:45. Well, Tom Comack has been getting inside track from former Derry star and championship winner with Ballanderry, Conlath Gilligan.
The last four in Derry, just like in Tyrone, Conlath, Glen, The Loop, Slochneil, Lavey. Any surprises there?
Well, not really any surprises. To be fair, you would have expected three of those. The Loop probably would have been in the mix along with Coleraine and Martha Felt. Somebody like that would have slipped through. But to be fair, on the quarterfinal performances, Loop were probably the most informed team in all the quarterfinalists. So it all gears up for a really good weekend of football, with obviously the two favourites, Slochneil and Glen, avoiding each other.
Yeah, and Glen, we'll take Glen Loop first. Talk to me about Glen. Obviously, they've been so successful at underage, they'll begin to scratch their heads if they don't somewhere in a senior.
Well, they have, and over the last two or three years, they've really started coming with that young team that was as good as any underage team to win an Ulster Minor Championship. Conor Glass has probably come back from Australia, and he's been the catalyst toward them propelling themselves into real contenders. And then, obviously, you add into the fact that they've got Malachy O'Rourke, who has pedigree in winning championships, obviously won it with The Loop, which is a wee bit of history in that, but as well as that, he also has won Ulster clubs as well. So Glen are in a trajectory, they're going the right way. So far through the championship, Glen have been the most impressive team. You know, they've blown everybody away, there's been very little to touch them. Again, they played a very tight system, they're very young, they're very pacey. But the one thing that the Loop have is championship tradition, and in the form that come late, it'll be very, very keenly fought. I would still expect Glen to beat them, but I think this one will go to the wire before they do.
Yeah, and the one thing I know is about Glen and all their games, they're giving very little away, except for against Kilray, really. They give very little away. So they're obviously 8 points is the most anybody scored against them, really. I know Kilray got 3 goals, so obviously they're playing defensive, are they?
They are, yes. Again, the Kilray game it's a strange one because Kilray did score heavily late on whenever the game was done. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But the telling part was in the quarterfinal against Swatra. They'd Swatra beaten out the gate, and they were diving on shots to make sure Swatra didn't score. You know, and that was a savage sign. But this game will come down to kickouts, perhaps. And both teams have probably got the best kickout system. Thomas Mellon, again, Ballaghy in the quarterfinal, had 17 kickouts and got 16 of them away successfully. Again, Glen have got nearly 100% of all their kickouts. Both teams have been really good. But for the Loop, Terence O'Brien, who played 4 or 5 years with Derry back and forward, won a Sigerson Cup, came into the team, has retired, has come back out, but he's in the form of his life, and he was absolutely outstanding along with Roddy O'Kane against Ballaghy in the quarterfinal. So they're two big players that have to play well, but Glen of all the aces. It's just very hard to see that, you know, if Kieran McFall and, you know, Emmett McGoughan, Conlath McGoughan click, that they should win. But again, I would expect this to be a low-scoring affair because the Loop will be very defensive as well, even though they racked up a big score against Ballaghy in the quarterfinal.
So you're opting for Glen there, are you?
Yeah, look, I'd expect Glen to win that, but I think they'll get a scare before they get to a final.
Yeah. Talk to me about the second one. It's on Sunday. It's Slochneil versus Lavey. Slochneil, yeah, well, they just don't go away, do they? They won the hurling last week.
Yeah, they won the hurling last week, and I suppose Slochneil haven't just hit the heights that they did last year. Obviously, this is a repeat of the group game where Lavey beat them. So probably Lavey would have maybe preferred somebody else, because obviously when you beat a team in a group section and they come back at you, the motivation's with them. But Slochneil have it their eye on hurling, have it their eye on football. So now the hurling's done, they're waiting now and on Loyan, the Ulster club, but that's three or four weeks out. So Slot Neil can focus on the football. Now, the rumour mill would be that maybe Chrissy McCaig and Shane McGuigan picked up injuries in the hurling and their doubts for this week. If that was to be the case, Slot Neil could be in a wee bit of trouble. If those two players are injured, I would expect Slot Neil to have enough to beat Lavi. But this is a young, exciting Lavi team. They beat them in the group section, as I say, and they were very good that night. A lot would depend on the fitness of Kieran O'Boy, who didn't play in the quarter-final against Ballinderry. At 6'2", he's a massive target man, and they missed him, and he didn't take any part. He's had a bad back for a number of years now, so they were maybe just resting him. But, you know, Lavi have Kieran O'Boy, Niall Toner, Matthew Downey, Enda Downey, you know, really, really exciting players. And if they can get a grip on Shane McGuigan, who is the key talisman in Derry football at the moment, the form he's been in was incredible. That night he kicked not eight, and he was unmarkable. Lavi just were able to get two goals, and that's what got them over the line. But I would expect Slot Neil to win this game. But I think it'll be a tight, cagey affair, and Lavi will push them the whole way. But I think Lavi still have a year or two to travel before they're really getting at the very top end, along with Glenn.
Conal Gilligan there talking to Tom Comack, looking at the senior action in Derry over the weekend. There's intermediate and junior action as well. An intermediate championship, St Oliver Plunkett's play at St Oliver Plunkett's Greenlock, they play Drumcern. That's the first semi-final at Owen Beg at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And at 2:30 on Saturday, the junior final sees Sean Dolan's playing Desert Martin, as I say, 2:30 at Celtic Park. On Sunday, intermediate semi-final, Limavady Wolfhounds, they're up against Steelstown Brian Oaks. That semi-final is at 1 o'clock in Owen Beg. Well, in Tyrone, it's also down to the last four, with Trillick, Dromore, Errigal Kieran and Cole Island. They have come through. On Saturday, Trillick and Dromore are taking part in a mouth-watering local derby clash in O'Neill's Healy Park. That one's at 7:15 on Saturday evening. On Sunday, Errigal Kieran and Cole Island, they go toe-to-toe in Pomeroy at 3:30. Well, Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald has been given Tom Comack the lie of the land in the home of the All-Ireland champions.
Well, down to the last four in Tyrone. And before we look at the four games, how has the championship been this year, Alan? I know everybody was in awe of what the quality of the championship, particularly last.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Tom. People were in awe of what happened last year, especially the dramatic circumstances in which Dungannon eventually won the title for the first time in 64 years after a penalty shootout. And they certainly deserved that success. And I suppose they relinquished their title in equally dramatic circumstances a few weeks ago against Dromore. Now, it wasn't quite after a penalty shootout, but it was after extra time. And it was one of the really thrilling encounters that, again, have sort of marked the Tyrone Championship and enhanced its reputation as probably the, you know, what most people would see as the best championship in Ulster and perhaps in Ireland. Now, that's a matter of opinion, but there's no doubt that it's up there. And this year's competition has definitely been, you know, very, very interesting, and there's been some very good clashes, not least the first round game, which was actually 2 days before the Dungannon Dromore game between Oma and Carrickmore. And, you know, Carrickmore won that one and then went out at the weekend. Last weekend they lost to Cole Island after another big game. So the quality of football has been very good, and the games have, for the most part, been fairly close. And I think we probably have the four best teams in the county have now progressed to the semi-finals.
Yeah, you mentioned Dromore, dethroning the champions. They're in a mouth-watering clash on Saturday. They take on Trillick. That's a local derby of local derbies, isn't it?
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that. Like, over the years, Trillick and Dromore, from 80, 90 years ago, the games between them have always been really, really intriguing ones. And I suppose the funny thing about that one is that there haven't been all that many really big games between them in the senior championship. Now, they did meet, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and Trillick won it fairly comprehensively. But I think a lot of people in Dromore would see that, and I think they're probably right, as a game that they maybe never were going to do brilliantly in anyway, because the team was very much in transition at that stage. I think they'll be going into this one now on Saturday evening with a lot more confidence and a lot more buoyancy, and certainly It's the top clash of the weekend. There's no doubt about that. And the bragging rights between Dromore and Tullock are very much sought after. And I suppose it'll be interesting to see how this one goes. I think on the basis of form, Tullock this year have been very, very strong. I think there's a desire within them to make up for last year. Like, and probably, you know, the Reds, as they're called, as we know, they probably will feel that they could be going for three in a row at this stage, because they won the title in 2019. They lost to the penalty shootout against Dungannon last year, a game that they led by 3 or 4 points midway through the first half and had chances to go even further ahead. And if they had gone further ahead in that game, they probably may have put it without beyond reach of Dungannon even at that stage. So I think on the basis of form, they are probably the team that will be tipped by most neutrals. But when Dromore meets, like, form doesn't come into that at all, really.
Yeah. Obviously, we know the Donnellys and the Brennans are key men for Trillick. Who are the key men for Dromore? Because obviously Ricey and people like that are no longer playing.
Yeah, it's amazing the change in personnel that Dromore have had over this past couple of years, and there's a lot of good young players, not least Peter Teague, who was a member of the Tyrone panel which won the All-Ireland. He's a full-back, but he likes to get forward on a lot of occasions and has been chipping in with a fair few points from Greaves. Another key player for them has been a centre-half-back, Ryan McCusker, obviously the Fermanagh player, but no, Ryan McCusker has been very strong at centre-half-back again and going forward and creating chances. Obviously, up front, they have Niall Sludden. Owen McCusker, who has been coming on, a star of former years in terms of scoring, he has been coming on and making a fair impact in their couple of games so far against Arbow and Dungannon, and then at the weekend against Eglish. And obviously, another player who has vastly experienced is Aidan O'Donnell. And he's doing well around, even though he lines out his corner forward, he likes to get out around midfield and pick up loose ball. And they're very calm in their approach this year, Dromore, and I think that'll stand to them against it.
Moving on to the second game, equally mouthwatering, is Errigal Kieran and Cole Island.
Of all the sides probably left in the Championship, Errigal maybe have the greatest incentive to go on and win the title, because they have come close on a number of seasons, you know, a number of years during the past 5 or 6 seasons, really. And I think this year they look very, very strong under the management of Adrian O'Donnell and Mark Hart. Now, obviously, they had 5 members of the Tyrone panel, and every one of those 5 are playing a key role, the likes of Peter Hart and obviously Dara Canavan and Niall Kelly and Ben McDonald, and Dara McInnenley in the sub-goalie, and he's in goals, obviously. But they've been displaying a real, just like the Errigal Kieran teams of old that won so many titles between 93 and about 2006, and Dara Canavan is key to them. But another man that's key to them, their performances, has been Dara's brother, Rory, and some of the scores that he has been taking over this past few games have been absolutely magnificent. So on the basis of their forward attacking power, I would expect them to win this. But at the same time, I think Cole Island, you know, their never say die attitude has been a key factor. They came from behind to beat Eden Dark in the first round. They came from behind to beat Carrickmore in the quarterfinal then last Sunday. They're a vastly experienced team, obviously, with Patrick Hampsey and Michael McKernan, another 2 members of the Tyrone team. They're leading the way in terms of, you know, in terms of experience and driving forward. But also, Cormac O'Hagan has been scoring freely up front, and Plunkett Kane and Kieran Quinn. They have a good mix of youth and experience, but the experience of having won the title twice in the past decade is sure to stand to them. And it'll be a very interesting game, and even though I would tip Errigal to win it, I wouldn't rule out Cull Island at the same time.
Alan Rogers there speaking to Tom Comack. Looking ahead to the 2 semi-finals in Tyrone over the weekend, Trillick and Dromore, Errigal Kieran and Cull Island. And the media action as well over the weekend, it's Also, semi-finals, Owen Roe, they're up against Gorton. That's at 4:45 in Oma on Saturday. And on Sunday, that's Rock up against Moortown. Also an intermediate. That one's in Pomeroy at 1 o'clock on Sunday. We have a short break to take. When we come back, we'll be looking at the Hurling Championship here in Donegal. Welcome back to The Score. We're going to check in with Donegal Hurling and Dunlow and Éirua clash in the Donegal Junior Championship Hurling Final this weekend in the O'Donnell Park. Tom Comack's looking ahead to the final with John Rooney, the Éirua manager. We'll also hear from the Dunlow manager very shortly. But first of all, Tom spoke with John Rooney.
Last year we... Karen Dunne beat us well in the semi-final last year, so we're a step further this year, but we're well aware of the challenge that's ahead of us now. And twice the year, I suppose, the betters there in Ballyshannon in the league bet us well, and then the night the game was abandoned with the fog, then we're ahead that stage as well. Mm-hmm. They have represented us there on the senior county panel. They've, you know, three or four lads on it there, where we don't have any on that, and there's a good many on the 20s as well, so... Mm-hmm. It's a, their hard work is coming to fruition there at the minute, all right.
And tell me a little about this team of yours. You've had good success down the years at underage, haven't you?
Well, very few of the... We were successful there, I suppose, in the... What do you call them now? The late noughties, is it? And early part of the last decade. But very few of them lads came through. This is a kind of a younger... This team probably hadn't a whole pile of success underage. Small enough squad there, there's about 22 or 3 of them there, but like that, I couldn't fault them for their effort, and I was having the rest to do the deed. But it's kind of a mixture. There's kind of a couple of older lads and younger lads on it, but they're there, and I'm sure we'll see what happens on Saturday.
And tell me, how did you fare in the league this year?
We went up to the senior league, expecting it would be good to get the games and that, but unfortunately, I suppose, with the COVID and that crack, we ended up only getting 3 games. I know we lashed 3 of them. We lashed the Satanta, Unions and Dunlow.
Right. And tell me about the championship so far.
The championship so far. We started off, we played Satanta blowing the cross in the first game. Close enough game, we got a couple of pints near the end of the game to win it. After that, then who would we? And then you see the junior championship. You're playing kind of second teams. It was Satanta's second team, and then we played Union's second team. We won that one, and McCool's second team. We won that one, and then Four Masters in a good game with them. We won that, and unfortunately, Letterkenny Gales couldn't field for the last game of it, so we're into the semi-final then, and we played Dunlow down in Dunlow, but
that game was
a fog came down that evening. It's funny, it was sometime in August, I think. There was about 15 minutes or so left in it, and it couldn't have been finished out, so the ref made a good call, and Dunlow were up by a pint at that stage, so...
I was just looking at the results there. You had a big win over Four Masters. You scored it at, 5:22 or something. And, they were after winning the Ulster League, Division 3 or 4, whatever. But they had come in on a bit of a run.
They had, I suppose, but they had lost a couple of games. Now, I know the big score, but they got a couple of goals near the end to put a glass on it all night. But Four Masters would have been missing a couple of them. But yeah, it probably was our best performance of the year that evening. It was, I suppose, they all kind of clicked that evening. We had many another evening where it was the other way, but that evening, all right, they did play well now and put up a big score.
Yeah, and of course your own boys are very central to it. They're key men, really.
They look at that. They got a couple of scores that evening, I suppose, that made them look away. But no, the reason maybe they stand out a bit more is that they're the only dual players we have. But they'll be an all round, if a couple of lads there, and like it would be an all. Now I know they got the scores there, but they knock at the scores unless the ball was got up to them.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, that's Keenan Sinan, obviously. Tell me, and who are then the more experienced members of your team?
Ah, sure, as well. You have Peter Horden there. He's 40 years of age. He's still battering away. And you have a few of them. Damien Cleary there. Damien and Kieran Kilgannon. Then being Ryan O'Brien there. I'll be over the 30 now, I suppose. And then next couple of lads are about the 27 there. So there's, you're probably going from Peter at 40 down to the youngest lad they're sending at 19.
Yeah.
Everywhere in between then.
Yeah, well, you have a few ex-county men there, so obviously they bring a bit of experience to it.
I suppose Peter was there and Kieran Kilgannon, and that'll be about it. We had no real county men now for a while. Hushing was in and out of it there for a while, but we would have had no regular county player.
And how has preparations gone the last couple of weeks?
Not so bad, Tom. You know yourself, everyone, this pandemic now is, we're just, you're just dreading to get the phone calls there. There's to be any man down or a contact, but in fairness, they're training there. We've a few lads in Dublin who have trained there on the Friday nights, a bit during the week, and I have to say, I can't fault any of them now. Can't fault anyone's effort.
Yeah, and any injury worries or concerns?
There'll be a couple of lads there, and then we're down a man. He's suspended. The semi-final, we had a man sent off in the semi-final, and there's a couple of lads that were touch and go, they weren't played in the semi-final, to see how they'd be, so hopefully the extra couple of weeks might get them through it. We've about 21 or 22 lads there, so if we're to get anywhere near done, no, we're going to need the full performance from all of them lads.
That was John Rooney, the Airua manager, speaking to Tom Comack ahead of that Junior Hurling Championship final. Well, Tom also spoke with Ronan Mulligan, the Dunlow boss.
I know, last year was a great year for us, our first senior team in a senior adult competition, and it was brilliant for the lads coming through the under-21s and the minors and stuff. And now this year the job is in focused on, hopefully now we can get over that line. And come back with a championship this year. Now again, we're up against a very strong Ballyshannon team, Ballyshannon as well. And not be an easy task. The boys are thriving for it. So.
Yeah, and you kind of come in under the radar last year. Nobody expected you. Nobody even expected it to put up the challenge that you did to Cairn Dunne in the final.
No, well, that's true. And personally, on the minor level and the hurlers that we have within the club, there's a lot of good lads there, and they put in a lot of good work. And it was just, all it really was just to get a bit of confidence behind them, and then realise that they can beat teams like there was a couple of years beating St Unions in the minor competition that really sort of set them off. You know what I mean? That they can compete against teams. We come up against a good Cairn Dunne, a well-experienced Cairn Dunne team last year, and it goes to show we lost the first 15 minutes, and that's really where the winning of the game really happened last year, and again, that comes down to the experience,
And tell me, has the team changed on things since last year?
No, not really. Maybe with Richie Ryan and still there, but really what's really got under their belts this year is they've got a bit of league format this year, so they've got a few more games under their belt. So, and the only way you're going to learn is by playing games. So, and that's what they got this year. So hopefully now with the experience of last year and playing in the senior league this year with, it really brought the lads on a wee bit further. So hopefully, fingers crossed to say that we have enough done and we have enough to get over the line on Saturday,
And how did you do in the league?
We wouldn't do too bad. We'd have got a couple of, a nice couple of trimmings against the bigger teams like the Berts and the St Anthas. But in saying that, we put up against Buncrana and we actually beat Ballyshannon up in Ballyshannon. We had a good experience in it. So we had, and when you move up that level, it's a massive step, and it's a massive step coming from junior into senior, But the boys loved every minute of it, and it was, it was great to get the experience of it, which was good.
And your own beating in the championship, talk to me a little about the championship campaign. I know there was a couple of walkovers, was there, or a couple of games didn't take place?
There was a few games that we didn't get to get play another, we were given points and stuff for it, we'd prefer to play the games, but unfortunately just on with COVID and everything else and all sorts of stuff that was happening this year. There was a few games that we didn't get playing. So we were like, we played a lot of Kenny Gales and, you know, we played well again. It was all about coming out in that 15 minutes and doing what we do in the 15 minutes, and that sort of was the winning of the Letterkenny Gales game as well, you know. So, but as I say, Gales, for playing them this year, they've stepped it up a mark too with getting into the Fermanagh League and getting all that experience coming in with us as well. So the Junior Championship is actually starting to really open up now with on any given day, any of them teams can win a game, you know.
Yeah, and you beat St. Junan's Four Masters as well, and then you beat Letterkenny Gales, wasn't
it? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we beat Four Masters as well. Lucky enough, we would get them at home. Four Masters are a good physical side. Again, it's the experience that they got this year again in the Fermanagh League. I think they won their competition in that Fermanagh League. So, like they were coming with heads up high to come against us. So, but we were lucky enough to get the home draw, and that really stood for us as well. So, but again, it was a good contest as well. Like, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes the scoring doesn't reflect a game, you know.
Yeah, and of course you played Ballyshannon or Aroa in that well published.
Yeah.
It wasn't finished.
Yeah, we did. We played well. Again, we were lucky enough to get the home draw with that one as well. But unfortunately, Donegal weather, you just never know what you're going to get. One minute it was a fine evening and everything was going well, and next minute there was these dark clouds were coming over, and just within 10 minutes, 15 minutes, there was just a massive fog and nobody could see nothing then. So
you were winning that game, I think.
We were winning by a point that time, you know. So, and then the referee called it up then. So
the preparation's gone in the last couple of weeks since the semi-final.
It's been good, and but to tell you the truth, it's been busy too, because our footballers have got into the county final too in our reserves, and we have a lot of dual players now that sort of mixed within the club between the hurling and the football. So it's been busy sort of this last 3 weeks, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
On both codes.
Yeah. And have you got
so preparation now is the key now for this week now, and getting into the final, and let's get the hurling over and done, and then the boys can concentrate on the football and get that done then, you know.
And tell me, have you got everybody running?
Yeah, we have a good 90% of the lads anyway, so, which is good, you know.
Yeah.
A few boys carrying a couple of wee knocks here and there, but no, we're in a good place, and we're pretty confident that we can go out and do a job, you know.
You pulled a rabbit out of the hat last year with Richie Ryan. Any more rabbits in the hat this year?
No, we've no surprises this year. It'd be nice to be pulling the rabbit out every year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's Ronan Mulligan, the Dunloe boss, ahead of Dunloe against Aroa at O'Donnell Park, the Junior Hurling Championship final. That's at 1:30 on Saturday. Well, at 3:30 on Saturday, the Donegal Senior Hurling Finals also taking place. Setanta up against St. Eunan's. Tom Comeck has been getting the latest from both camps, starting with Eugene Organ, the St. Eunan's manager.
Back in another final, the third in a row, hoping for both third.
We'd be very much hoping for that. Getting to finals hasn't been, you know, the issue over the last couple of years. It's on the day. Getting the performance is good enough to get over the line. You know, that has been the issue. So yeah, back for a third time, same four. So we're really looking forward to the game.
And going in this year as league champions, so does that suggest that maybe the gap has narrowed?
Well, the league is the league. You know, it's great to win a bit of silverware any year. You know, there's only the two trophies to win. So it was nice to get off to the start and win it this year. It gives younger players that bit of confidence, and you know, it's great to get a bit of silverware. But look, the teams you're playing are probably without their county players and not as strong. So it's the league is the league, but the championship is the real test, you know.
Yeah, well, obviously you had a winning run, which winning can become a habit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, you set out to win every game, you know, as you say. Once you win games, it builds that little bit of confidence, it builds the buzz into the place, and it is great, you know.
Yeah, and talk to me about the championship. You beat Cairn McCool's, lost to, was it to Santa? Heavy defeat to Santa, all right, up in Santa, and lost to Burt, but then you had a good win over Buncrana, and you beat Burt as well, then in the semi-final.
Yeah, that's the way it worked. You know, we went down in Cairn, then we beat McCool's, and I suppose then we got a bit of a lesson then off Setanta at home, struggled down in Burt again, but then got back, regrouped, back to the basics again, had a good performance down against Buncrana, and then got over the line the last day against Burt. So, yeah, it's been a kind of a roller coaster. It's been up and down, played some very good hurling at times, and then other times you'd be fairly disappointed with what we produced, you know.
Yeah. Obviously, quite a few dual players. I suppose that has been an effect on your preparations and your training and everything as well.
Well, yeah, it has. Like, those lads, like six or seven lads there, like, and they have a huge workload, you know, and in the last couple of weeks they've been in, you know, even more demand, you know, with quarterfinals, semifinals and all that. But look, you have to be fair to players and their managers, you know, but player welfare is number one for me anyway, you know, because you can't have fatigue setting into players that need to pick up injuries and they don't enjoy it. And, you know, it's very much a juggling act. But look, we have three senior men's teams in county finals this week and next week, so we're obviously doing something right out there, you know.
Yeah, and of course, there's one or two players that's on playing senior football, like Niall O'Donnell, I'm sure that you'd love to have.
Look, there's three or four lads there, you know. We were approached, they made their choices, and, you know, the players know their bodies and what they're able to give, and they made their choices, and look, we've dealt with that, drawn a line under it, and just worked with what we have, you know.
Yeah. And like, we all know the task you face and the talent you face, and I see David Flynn's back training as well, so that's obviously a huge boost to Tanta as well.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, any team in the county would love to have the talents of David Flynn with them, you know. But sure, look, Tanta are loaded with household names all over the place. I'd say there's probably hardly a man there that hasn't put on a county jersey at some point, you know. But look, if you get too wrapped up in the opposition and what they're going to be doing, who they're going to be playing, you kind of lose focus on what you're doing yourself. And look, I'm concentrating on my lads and what I want them to do on the day. And, you know, if it's good enough, it's good enough. And it's not, sure, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's much the same team as last year that's come through again this year. You have one or two absentees, and I suppose you have one or two new players coming in: Nigel Flood, Russell Ford, and Dara O'Malady. He's a very good find.
Yeah, Dara's been a great addition to us this year. You know, he's coming from a very good standard of hurling there in Dublin with Defina. You know, he's a tidy hurler, like, and you know, he's a man that when he's around the group, if he speaks, people listen. You know. Yeah, young Russell Ford has come on very well this year for me, Nigel Flood then as well. And yeah, we have lost a few lads, all right, but look, teams change, you know, on a regular basis up around here, lads in college and moving away, life goes on, you know, so just work with what you have.
And have you got everybody for the weekend?
Yeah, there's one or two lads now that have to do a bit of a fitness test Friday evening for us, like, but we're hoping that they are going to come through okay, and we'll be ready to go on Saturday at 3:30.
You know you have a bit of ground to make up, and the big question is, can you make it up? I suppose we won't find that out until Sunday or Saturday.
Well, no, you know, you can, you know, we were, you know, early on this year I said that closing the gap was what we were looking to do this year, but then when we played them in the group stages, it looked as if the gap had just widened. So look, we've worked on it in training, we've gone back to basics, and we've come up with something, so we'll see if it works on Saturday evening at 3:30, and if it's the only time, you'll know.
That's Eugene Organ, the St Union's manager. Well, Tom also got the views of Setanta boss Gary McGerrigan.
Well, Gary, back in another final. I suppose it's a case of deja vu all over again. St Union's your opponents.
No, we definitely know each other on side out, but at the same time, we know that there's never been much on it in previous years, so definitely have to keep an eye on the ball. I'm sure we're well geared up for it, so we know they will come Saturday.
Yeah, well, you are the team to beat from the outset every year, and that's something you've got accustomed to. How has the season gone for you?
Just the Donegal League, so like, obviously the early part of the year we were in lockdown and couldn't meet up or anything, and then basically once we got to go ahead to train again, we were Donegal League started maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that, so it was a strange one. There wasn't much of a pre-season, and then they played maybe 6 or 7 games in the league. It might have been a week break, and then you went straight under round robin stage of the championship. So there was maybe 10 or 12 games there in about 3 months, but then since that, then from the last round to round robin until now has been about 8 or 9 weeks, you know. So there was loads of hurling in the early part of the season. St Dunham did it and won the round of the league. It might have been the last round of the league, so St Dunham won the league this year.
Yeah, so obviously the margin has narrowed a bit, has it?
Hard to read them. They beat us fairly comfortably that day, but we would have had maybe 7 or 8 county players must, and they would have had 2 or 3. And then come the round robin stage of the championship, we beat it ended up a wee bit them fairly handed, but they would have had a few of their dual players missing, so I can't read it an awful lot under the two games we've played so far this year.
Yeah, but when you talk about Declan Coulter and Jared Gilmore and Danny Cullen, just to name just a few back on board, they make an awful difference.
Oh, of course they do, guy. Like when we, the time they did it in the league, basically the spine of our team wasn't there that day. Like so, no, they can't read much on them two games. We know that there hasn't been much on it, and over the last couple of years, like the game, sometimes the scoreline that has flattered us. The games have been tight, and they just get goals at the right time and sort of helped us fall away a bit. And even last year's final, we could have been 10 points up at half time, but the one time we were back to 6 points and they got a penalty and it was saved, and that could have brought it back to 3. Like, so there's been plenty of tight games. Sometimes if you look at the final scores, maybe it looks as if we won either of them actually did.
Has the personnel changed much? I see David Flynn hasn't started for you yet this season.
No, he hasn't started so far, but he's back there. He couldn't come up early in the year, but he's back training, and he's in contention for Saturday now. So I suppose over the next day or two, we lift the foot down as a management team and making them sort of calls. But outside of that, there's a few changes, really. Like there could be 3 or 4 starting this year's final if it wouldn't have started last year's final, but. But you need that at the same time. You know, Marty Bonner would have been our centre-back and full-back the last couple of years. He's sort of had to take time out because he's away working out of the country. Mark Delane's out of the country working. He needs Stephen McBride's and his army training at the moment, so he can't play. But there were a few boys back, like Shane Gallon's back. He had been in Dublin for a few years. And the young lads, Ashley Marley and Rory Campbell, they were sort of on the panel training this last year, but they're pushing them and have been starting this year, so they've been a massive boost. Our semi-final there with another 2 young lads, Dean Harvey and Ryan Coyle. Ryan Coyle, I think, is in 2018 this week, and Dean Harvey is just 2018. Them 2 lads are training flat out there as well. So there's 4 or 5, maybe even more, 5 or 6, maybe 18-year-olds in the panel. So them boys are coming fresh, and they're busting themselves at training every night, which is what we need, and then that's always helps to drive the older boys on too.
Yeah, has it come to a stage where maybe the starting 15 or the team that's going to play isn't as predictable as it used?
No, definitely wouldn't be. I don't think any throughout the round robin stages. I don't think they've started the same 15 any 2 games in a row, and it definitely won't be the final team. Won't be the same as the semi final team. So, no, there's always 1 or 2 changes, and there's a few places there where there's 2 or 3 men fighting for maybe 1 place. So. That's what we need, and competition within the panel is healthy.
Yeah,
drives everybody on.
And any injury concerns?
Oh, thank God! No, we had a couple of wee niggle injuries after the semi final, but no, they're all well geared up now. I don't think we've any injury concerns.
Yeah.
Gary McGerrigan there, the Setanta manager, will have full coverage of that game on Saturday Sport with Oisin Kelly and Mickey McCann, the Donegal Senior Hurling Final, 3:30 at O'Donnell Park on Saturday. Elsewhere on Saturday, there's Junior A Championship semi-finals at 2 o'clock in Parknaith, Columba. Letterkenny Gaels are up against Narossa at 7 o'clock, and Convicts Downings up against Cairndonagh. And under 21A Championship on Saturday, Killybegs, they play Sean McCool's at 1 o'clock. There's senior relegation semi-finals at the weekend in O'Donnell Park on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Glenswally play Terman, and at 3 o'clock in Funter and Killybegs, Bundoran play Glenfin. There's ladies action this weekend. Ulster Ladies Intermediate Club Championship quarter final at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Steelstown of Derry, they play St Eunan's. And Ulster Ladies Junior Club Championship quarter final, Moortown Tyrone, they play Robert Emmett's. There's also a Masters game at the weekend. It's a Shield final. The Donegal Masters are up against the Westmeath Masters, 4 o'clock on Saturday in the St Aidan's GA Grounds, Templeport, County Cavan. We'll be back with League of Ireland preview very shortly. Welcome back to The Score. It's a busy weekend in League of Ireland Premier Division. Most teams having 2 games this weekend, 1 on Friday and 1 on Monday. On Monday, Finn Harps are at home to Drogheda United, and Derry City are away to Waterford FC. And on Friday, Derry City, they're at home in the Brandywell to Bohemians. But first of all, it's a big game for Finn Harps. They're away to the Tallaght Stadium. They play the champions-elect Shamrock Rovers, which a very important game. Looks like it'll be sold out. Earlier on today, I spoke spoke to former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle to get his views of the weekend ahead. Right, Declan, it's another busy weekend of League of Ireland football. It hadn't been a great week result-wise for Finn Harps, with Waterford obviously climbing above them. But they have to start what is a busy weekend away to the champions-elect in Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, difficult one, isn't it? I mean, Shamrock Rovers obviously are having an opportunity to lift the title on Friday evening live on TV, so it's going to be a difficult one. They'll be obviously doing whatever they can to get three big points and lift the league trophy, and well-deserved as well. Throughout the whole season, Shamrock Rovers has been excellent. But yeah, it's a difficult match, Orphan Harps, but you have to say the character and the attitude of the lads against Sligo Rovers was excellent, and get back in from 2-0 down to 2-2. Even though we only got a point on the night, it would feel like they've got three big points. So the energy should be good, and the enthusiasm should be good, and they should be all looking forward to a game against the champions, and obviously live on the box as well. It was, you know, makes it more exciting for the players, and they'll be looking to put out a big performance.
Yes, well, on the team front especially, Kosovar Siddiqui sent off last week, so obviously we don't know about injuries or anything. Sometimes in these type of games you would have thought Ollie might have been tempted to rest players, but because of the situation at the bottom of that table, I'm sure it's a game that he can't afford that risk.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tight down there, isn't it? Like, I mean, we're 38 points and whatever, 39, and Dock 39, Drogheda 43, and you can see yourself a lot of games over the weekend as well. And I mean, Drogheda are a funny one because they're playing obviously Sligo Rovers in the showgrounds, and Harps then obviously and on Monday as well. So if they ended up winning those two, they could be in the third spot. If they end up losing both of those, they could end up being pulled into the relegations area and the playoff spot. So they're so tight between all those teams, but they're massive games obviously on the Monday as well. I mean, we have Harps playing Drogheda. Yeah, and obviously Sligo Rovers playing Longford, Waterford playing Derry City away, which is another big one. So Harps will be looking for obviously Derry to do them a favour over the weekend, as the Pats are playing both. So it's very tight down the bottom, a lot of games and a lot of points to play for, and just one of those seasons where, you know, you could be sitting at 45 points and end up in the playoff, which has never been heard of before, and it's just going to be down to the wire in the last game as well.
It's amazing that there's nine teams. You have the obviously top team and the bottom team. They have separated themselves both ways, but the other eight teams, it's amazing how close they are, Declan.
I don't think we've ever seen it before in the League of Ireland where it's been so tight. Like, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, two ones can bring them all into either, as you see, Drogheda, a team that are probably looking at that potentially playoff, but as in regards to the Europe, but also they could be in the playoff as well. So it's very tight, and it is now. It's, you know, we know it's the last five matches of the season, and you know, regarding Finn Harps, Waterford, Dundalk, probably the three teams that are closest to the playoffs, but obviously Drogheda just above that. But if you can get a run of matches now, this is what you want to do. You want to be hitting two or three matches where you get, you know, ones back to back, and that could be the difference that pushes you through. But you have to say the form of both Finn Harps and Waterford have been remarkable this season, and Waterford in an excellent run as well, and they'll be looking to pick up points over the weekend. They're obviously away to Dundalk, so Dundalk will be looking to obviously turn them over, and then obviously Waterford have got Derry City as well in Monday. So, you know, over the weekend we'll have a better idea where we are, but it's a massive game for obviously all the teams down there, especially Harps, where the Shamrock Rovers first, but you know, and then obviously hopefully then you've got a full complement of players to bring that forward into playing Drogheda on Monday evening, and hopefully make a full advantage of the playing at home.
I was just going to say, back to Friday night, Declan, away to Shamrock Rovers, the Tallaght Stadium is going to be a full house by the looks of things this weekend. Like, if you're a Finn Harps player, I'm sure you're going to be itching to get playing, and what's going to be a fantastic atmosphere, I'm sure.
Yeah, I you know, that's the games you want to be involved in. You know, the bigger the platforms, let's say against Shamrock Rovers, you say a great atmosphere up in Tallaght. I mean, Shamrock Rovers are going very well. Our record down through the years hasn't been good up in Tallaght, but we did get a result, I think a 1-1 draw early in the season as well. So, but Harps are well capable of going up there and being very stubborn and hard to play against, and dampen the atmosphere and calming down the crowd a wee bit as well, and playing to our strengths. And you know, the one thing that players have showed is that, you know, there's a good attitude and willingness to get results, and the game's never dead. Like, and that's what they'll be trying to bring that into, obviously, Friday night. But yeah, it's going to be difficult. You know, I do suspect that Shamrock Rovers will put on a big performance, but now it's just how Harps react to. But you want players to react to playing in a good atmosphere, a good pitch, and obviously live on TV. And you know, they want players to perform to the level they need to perform at. So if Harps can win a very good performance, there's no doubt about it, they can get a result. But at stages throughout that game, it could be where the backs are against the wall. And it just depends if Harps can score first. Maybe they can hold out and potentially get a one or a draw.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Just while we're on Friday night, Derry City and Bohemians, two teams who've been there in mid-table this last while. Both teams kind of slipping up here and there, so it's a big game for both those teams. It's fourth against fifth place, so an interesting encounter there.
You know, two of them had two bad results. You know, Derry obviously had an opportunity away to draw to go on closer to Sligo Rovers after Sligo Rovers drawn 2-2 at Finn Park, so they had a chance to closer to that third spot and into Europe, and they didn't take it. And Drogheda obviously beat them 1-0 and Bowes as well, you know, where Waterford came back from 1-0 down up in Dalymount and lost 2-1. So both of them were looking for reaction and 3 points to push them closer to that European spot. So a lot to play for. That's going to be an interesting game, obviously. So yeah, listen, it's Derry City then away on Monday night as well to Waterford, and that's not going to be an easy game with the current form that they're in. So a lot of games. I do believe both the playoff spot and Europe, there's going to be a lot of twists between now and the end of the season, and it's just going to be the team that can get the most consistency and obviously the best run and get two or three back-to-back victories that will get them over the line.
Just for people that never experienced it, Declan, you know, what's it like, a weekend like this, Friday and Monday, two huge games, one away and one at home for most of the clubs this weekend. It's tough to come through. If you can come through all those with maybe 4 points and no injuries, I'm sure the likes of Finn Harps and Derry City would both take it.
Yeah, and that's the crucial one, isn't it? You know, you want to play Friday to get a positive result bigging into your game on Monday, and the one thing you want to do is you want a clean bill of health where you get nobody sent off or suspended potentially for the following match or injured, and that's the key, you know. And that's where at times as well, having been full time, Kenny, makes a hell of a difference, doesn't it? Because you know, you have an opportunity to recuperate for, you know, it's over the weekend, but it's just the fact that you rest up a bit more with part time players. But it's good the fact they're away, and obviously at home then as well gives you a chance on Monday even to rest up. But it is about, you know, coming, using your squad, using your players, and then and obviously suspensions. We don't know what teams have suspensions at the minute, so that will be obviously, that'll come out before the weekend, and so an idea where teams are. But yeah, listen, it is about getting through the first match, getting a positive result, and then trying to go into the second one and get another positive result. And yeah, it's a big weekend, a difficult weekend for all clubs, but obviously for spectators, it's exciting, and it's exciting times for all teams involved there, because it's so close, and with both European places up for grab and the playoff spots up for grab.
Yeah, so close. Declan Boyle there. Shamrock Rovers and Finn Harps, 8 o'clock, the Tala Stadium. Big game for Harps. Rovers, of course, will be looking for 3 points to become champions. And Derry City there in the Brandywell tomorrow night, a big game for them as well. Looking for that European spot. They host Bohemians. There's more games then on Monday. Irish League Premiership, there's one game tomorrow night. Carrick Rangers, they play Glentoran. Full fixture list then on Saturday, with Coleraine at home to Portadown. And Dungannon Swifts, they have the tough job of heading up to Linfield up in Belfast. The Championship at the weekend, Institute are away to Anna United. Derg View there at home to Dundella. And in the Ulster Senior League, what result from last night? It was Finn Harps under 21's 5, Letterkenny Rovers 5. And on Saturday at 2 o'clock, Monaghan United play Coghill Celtic. And at 6 o'clock, it's Bonagie United up against Letterkenny Rovers. Well, that's it from the score for another week. Thanks to Joe Dex for his help. From myself, Kenny Harkin, have a very good evening.